As I was preparing this commentary, word came through that Iran, so anxious to fire missiles at a Iraqi airbase housing American soldiers, actually shot down a commercial airliner, killing more than 170 innocent people. They say it was an accident. But when you incompetently fire missiles in hate, it's not an accident. Life means little to these Muslim savages, except, of course, their own lives. You never hear of an imam strapping a bomb on themselves and blowing themselves up. Can you imagine Iran with nuclear weapons? My commentary today includes research from the Washington Times and Bloomberg.com. I combine that research with my own. On Wednesday, President Trump demonstrated statesmanship far beyond what Democrats give him credit for when he gave Iran an off-ramp to de-escalate tensions in the Middle East rather than retaliate for the Iranian missiles fired at an Iraqi base housing American troops. No Americans or Iraqis were killed in that missile fire, and there was minimal damage done by those missiles. The president could have destroyed Iranian targets and would have been justified to do so, but he chose to let the Iranian leaders save face with their people. His example in doing so proves that all great decisions should be thought out and not brought about in an emotional response. In just the past 90 days, Iran has launched 12 provocations against the world, especially the United States. Trump gave them every opportunity to stop that behavior. As for killing the world's greatest terrorist, Iran's Soleimani, it should never have been left to the president, Trump, to do this. This evil man had been fomenting hate for decades. He was responsible for killing 600 American soldiers that we know of, and maiming many more. He was also responsible for the deaths of thousands of his own people. Soleimani was banned from traveling outside Iran, but he was finally killed in Iraq. That's outside of Iran. Democrats, desperate to force Trump out of office, immediately took the Iranian side over the president. They questioned whether Soleimani was planning an imminent attack, as our intelligence community had claimed. How asinine. Think about that. Democrats wonder if he was planning an imminent attack. This evil devil had been planning imminent attacks for decades and had just orchestrated the attack on our embassy in Iraq. What did the Democrats think Soleimani was in Iraq for? A tennis tournament? It appears that Democrats are suggesting that if Soleimani was not planning a deadly attack on American soil in the next couple of days, he should not have been killed. After all, it might have been, a couple of weeks for him to pull off the next attack. And under Democrat thinking, that's not imminent enough. Bill Clinton, George Bush, and Barack Hussein Obama allowed Soleimani to continue his reign of terror. They tried to appease Iran. Thousands of people, including Americans, are dead today because of the inaction of Clinton, Bush, and Obama. Blood is on their hands. I often wondered how President Obama picked his enemies and his friends. During his presidential campaign, Obama made it clear that if the political winds were to shift against Islam, he would stand with Islam, not America. Immediately upon taking office, Obama toured the world, apologizing for the United States. He went to Iran and bowed low before the Ayatollah to show his subservience to this Muslim leader. He gushed over Iran and murderous evil terrorists who kill gays and want to destroy both the United States and Israel. Then, in the middle of the night, it hit me. Barack Hussein Obama is a racist of the worst kind. Russia is a predominantly white country. Africans are a rare sight in Moscow. There are plenty of Central Asians, but you'll be hard-pressed to find a person of color in Russia. They are there, but not in numbers. And that really bothered Obama, to have to deal with such a nation and show respect, especially a nation that was rising as a counter to Obama's failed foreign policy, really got under Obama's skin. Obama had campaigned as a uniter, preaching not a red or blue America, but a United States of America. He never meant that. America and its European roots are facts Obama wanted to destroy from the get-go. European and Judeo-Christian America created the Magna Carta in the tradition of the Greeks and the Roman Republic. America created the greatest experiment in allowing the human being to thrive ever known to mankind. A freedom-based market economy that gives the individual the keys to their own future and makes iPhones and sends people to the moon. Obama wanted to destroy that culture, to destroy any vestige of European, yes, white culture was his goal. To start a race war by diving Americans into different groups by color. That was his agenda. To fan the flames of victimization, to destroy the white part of America as it exists today. That was why Obama championed illegal immigration. That's why he encouraged the children to immigrate from Central America, sending passenger jets to bring them here. And that is why he brought tens of thousands of Muslim refugees and just 0.5% Christians from the Middle East, instead of building them a safe place there. And he wanted to bring in hundreds of thousands more. His stacking Muslim immigrants into places like Minneapolis and Michigan gave us Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib, among others, radical Muslims elected to Congress on the votes of those refugees. The rule of law given to us from our English brethren, the Romans and Greeks, Obama hated, and he disrespected it with a passion. He did not respect American culture. He chose as his closest advisor a radical Muslim named Valerie Jarrett and followed her advice religiously. Running a corrupt government that uses the agencies of government to attack the political opposition is not American. It is gangsta behavior. Democrats say Obama was a decent man, but a decent man does not use the IRS to go after opponents. A decent man does not allow young black men to rot in a violent inner-city cesspool of anarchy. A decent man doesn't refuse to prosecute overt criminality and put the fix in with the FBI. Obama did not care about black people, and neither does Hillary Clinton. To Democrats, blacks are just chumps to use every 4 years for votes. The white left went along with this cultural Marxist theology and agenda. Tolerant, they are not. Racist, they are. What is happening in our universities is nothing but a cultural Marxist movement of hate and racism. Obama didn't want a purple America. He wanted a brown America, one controlled by Marxists and socialists. And that's why he encouraged so much government dependency to the detriment of millions of Americans' future. Destroying America's European-based heritage is not tolerance. It is bigotry. Bigotry in the worst form, because it deprives minority youth of the opportunity to thrive in a free, market-based society. Obama just could not see or refused to look at the motives of jihadists, and he would not even talk about it, choosing instead to slam Christians who, he said, cling to God, guns, and religion. That's why he enabled Iran to threaten Israel by developing nuclear weapons to destroy them. Israel was everything Obama hated, a Jewish cultural democracy with ties to the white America Obama wanted to destroy. Donald Trump understood all of this. It's why he scares the left so much. He was right when he called Hillary Clinton a bigot. Obama is one, too. What they were allowed to do over 8 years is un-American. It is pure criminal, evil, organized crime of the highest level. The Obama and Clinton appointees are still hiding in every nook and cranny of the federal government, padding their pensions, feeding like roaches in a dirty kitchen where nobody is looking. The missiles that Iran fired at our soldiers on Wednesday night were bought and paid for with money from American taxpayers. $1.5 billion sent to Iran by Obama and Joe Biden. Iran at the time was on its knees financially. Obama and Biden gave them new life. The United States and Iran have lived in a state of hostility for decades, but relations grew more tense over the last year, finally boiling over at the start of 2020 with a U.S. attack that killed Iran's most prominent military terrorist. This discord is rooted in U.S. backing for the 1953 coup that ousted Iran's nationalist prime minister and reinstalled the monarch, Shah Mohammad Reza Pahlavi, who was sympathetic to the West. When Islamic revolutionaries took over Iran in 1979, forcing the Shah to flee to the United States, militants seized the U.S. embassy in Tehran and held 52 Americans hostage for more than a year, demanding that we return the Shah to them for punishment. The U.S. severed relations and began to impose sanctions, which grew over the years. The U.S. has listed Iran as a state sponsor of terrorism since 1984. In April, it named the Revolutionary Guard Corps, Iran's premier military force, a terrorist organization, the first time that it has applied that designation to a state institution. The latest spiral of violence started with a December 27 rocket attack on an Iraqi base that hosts U.S. personnel. It killed an American contractor and wounded several U.S. personnel. Such attacks had occurred since the fall of 2019. The U.S. put the blame on Hezbollah, an Iraqi militia closely associated with Iran. With that, the president, Donald Trump, said that Iran would be held fully responsible for that terrorism. The hand of the Iranian terrorist, Soleimani, was behind those attacks. On December 29, the U.S. conducted airstrikes on 5 bases in Iraq and Syria used by Hezbollah. On December 31, dozens of Iraqi militiamen and their supporters stormed the U.S. embassy complex in Baghdad. Again, Iran's Soleimani orchestrated that attack. And Democrats wonder if there would be more imminent attacks. On January 2nd, a targeted U.S. strike on vehicles near Baghdad's airport killed Qasem Soleimani, commander of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, their elite Quds force, who had been plotting these attacks against Americans for decades. Donald Trump is the true uniter, and that drives Democrats crazy. Trump is a man who has given opportunity to tens of thousands of minorities, long neglected by Democrats. He understands that America is exceptional and wants to preserve that for future generations. Iran is producing oil at the slowest pace since 1986, making the U.S. sanctions one of the biggest challenges confronting its economy since the 1979 revolution, overthrowing the monarchy and installing Islamic cleric rule. The sanctions have fueled inflation and undermined domestic support for the Iranian government. A surge in gasoline prices recently in Iran sparked protests in late 2019 that authorities put down with force, force that resulted in more than 1,000 deaths, some say 1,500. Those deaths were at the hands of Soleimani, the terrorist that Democrat leaders chose to support against their own president. Such is their desperate thirst to regain power. One of the linchpins of Barack Hussein Obama's nuclear deal with Iran is that it would be accompanied by a near ban on Iran having any access to the U.S. banking system. A congressional report says that that, too, was a lie. That's the conclusion of a report by the Senate Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations. It alleges that Obama officials pushed the U.S. Treasury to let Iran convert the equivalent of $5.7 billion of funds held in Oman's Bank of Muscat from Iranian rials into dollars, and subsequently into euros. That required a special license by the U.S. Treasury, which was granted in February of 2016. But it was never disclosed, either to Congress or to the American people. Not one word against it came from Democrats. That's just one of many impeachable offenses that Obama committed. Real offenses, not some fiction. No Democrats raised objections. Ask yourself this. If the nuclear deal that Obama gave to Iran was not in Iran's favor, would they have signed it? Why are they so desperate to keep that deal in force if it's not favorable to them? Perhaps the most troubling part of this standoff with Iran is the behavior of the Democrat Party elites. Perhaps people might have anticipated the reaction of many of the Democrats in response to the United States taking out terrorist Iranian leader Soleimani in a strike in Iraq. Whatever it is that President Donald Trump does is always bad, according to Democrats, even when it's taking out the biggest terrorist in the region. Indeed, in the world. Democrats thought that they would have a reprisal, and of course they were going to. They feared an escalation if this terrorist was eliminated. It's legitimate to be concerned about possible retaliation. It is not legitimate to do nothing, as Democrats have done for decades, in response to Iran's escalations, drawing red lines and then not acting upon it. Before you liberals point out that George Bush didn't act to stop Iran either, let me agree with you and ask, really? It's also not legitimate to blame finally acting and trying to push back as escalation on Trump's part. This is even after attacks on Americans and attacks on our embassy, which is an attack on American soil. What they're saying now is exactly the problem, and it's why no Democrat with ideas like that should ever be president again, and why they should be voted out of power in Congress. But Representative Ilhan Omar, Democrat from Minnesota, took it even a step further than Pelosi, claiming that Donald Trump was doing it as a distraction and urging Congress to fight against Trump, saying that she would. Is she saying she would stop him from taking out terrorists? Because that's exactly what it sounds like. 20 years ago, Bill Clinton was being impeached, and he bombed Iraq. Was that because he wanted a distraction from his impeachment? No Democrats said so at the time, and Republicans had more class than to even suggest such a thing. Trump does not need congressional approval to take out a known terrorist, particularly one in a foreign country who has just attacked us and who was planning other attacks against us. Soleimani had been the most powerful terrorist in the region, killing and wounding not only hundreds, but thousands of Americans, not to mention oppressing and killing thousands of Iranians, Iraqis, and Syrians as well. That's why those who are pro-democracy in the Middle East are dancing in the streets today in those countries after his death. The mourners that you saw in the streets of Tehran were mostly there because of government orders to show up or else. But the Democrats don't understand that. Yes, there could have been ramifications for killing this terrorist before he could kill more Americans, but Soleimani's attacks are the ramification of inaction over the years, and Trump finally corrected that and brought some light to the region that has suffered so much. Let's remember the Democrat response when Trump took out Soleimani, even knowing that Soleimani was in Iraq planning more attacks against us, which is one of the reasons he was taken out, according to the Pentagon. Soleimani had gotten his people into the control of the Green Zone in Iraq, as well as other positions. But Trump was completely on top of it, thanks be to God. There are many reasons why Iran is existential threats to the American civilization, and I'll list just a few. First, Iran is the number one terror organization in the world today, far more dangerous than Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, or ISIS. They have largely taken over Syria and Lebanon, as well as 60% of Iraq. Iran has intimidated and threatened key Sunni countries, such as Saudi Arabia and the Gulf states, by supporting Shiite uprisings. They seek direct or indirect control over the Black Gold Triangle, that is, Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Kuwait, and Qatar, which holds over 50% of the world's known oil and gas reserves. Iran supports Hezbollah and Hamas terror organizations, which have taken over Lebanon and the Gaza Strip, respectively, in order to surround Israel. They support those terror organizations with money from American taxpayers, money given to them by Obama and Biden. Through Hezbollah, Iran has penetrated South America and set up terrorist training camps in Brazil, Argentina, Colombia, and Mexico, often funded by narcotics. They are sending Hezbollah operatives to Latin America and then illegally through Mexico into the United States. Iran is working with North Korea to develop nuclear weapons and long-range ballistic missiles. The Iranian government is complicit in war crimes in Syria and has contributed to the deaths of nearly 150,000 Syrians, mostly Sunnis, and the displacement of nearly 3 million refugees in Syria. Military experts have witnessed tests that show that Iran is focused on detonating nuclear weapons at high altitudes, which could destroy the electric grid of targeted countries, including America. Iran could also use nuclear weapons to simply blackmail Western or Sunni countries into submission. And there's also the risk of nuclear weapons falling into the hands of terrorists, either by accident, directed effort, or during a period of regime instability. A nuclear Iran could easily lead to a nuclear Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and Turkey, among others, greatly increasing the chance of an eventual nuclear war or nuclear terrorism. This is the same Iran that Barack Hussein Obama and Joe Biden shipped more than $150 billion to in the dead of night without congressional approval. No Democrats complained. Iran was crippled by U.S. sanctions and on its knees economically when they got that money from Obama. Obama and Biden knew Iran's objectives. They knew that the Iranians sought domination over the region by any means necessary, and yet they picked Iran's economy up with this gift from American taxpayers at a time when Iran was on the ropes. We can understand Obama's desire to revive this Muslim country, but why would Joe Biden not object and sound the alarm? That's a mystery. Actually, not so much of a mystery, because Biden was Obama's flunky. He picked Biden as vice president because Biden offered no threat to Obama. Still, Biden is not a Muslim and should have stood up to Obama's Muslim dreams. It's a sad commentary on the Democrat Party that the best they have to offer for president are socialists and a doddering old fool who was Obama's doormat for 8 years. We finally have a president with a backbone and fully invested in America. That is, if we can keep him. I thank you for joining me again today. Events happening in our world can be scary. There's no question about that. But the most scary thing, at least to me, is the way Democrats are approaching this killing of the Iranian terrorist. Was it imminent that he was going to attack Americans again, said the Democrats? Was it imminent? What is imminent? Does that mean an hour from now, next week, 2 weeks from Thursday? The man has been launching those kind of attacks for decades. He wasn't going to stop. That should have been the question. Was he never going to strike Americans again? That's what Democrats ought to be asking. Not, well, gee, was it imminent that he was going to do it? Foolish talk from foolish people. Thank you again for joining me. I'll be back again next week, God willing. Same time, same station.